critics of the recently passed $1.7 trillion omnibus bill have to admit it has a few silver linings for retirement accounts. Hi, I'm Rob West. When Congress is involved, you have to take a win whenever you can get it. And the new legislation is a definite win for retirement savers with a 401k, 403b, or Roth IRA. I'll talk about it today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Okay, so we recently talked about how the new spending package passed by Congress contains an important provision for folks with unused money in 529 education savings accounts. 529 money has to be spent on qualified education expenses, and that's always been a sticking point for folks who want to save for their kids' education. If there's money left over, or the child decides not to go to college, the 529 plan holder was stuck. Spending it on anything but education draws a 10% penalty. But starting in 2024, up to $35,000 of that money can be rolled into a Roth IRA if it's been in the account for 15 years. This is a big break for parents who put money aside for their kids ahead of their own retirement. The money can also be rolled into the child's Roth account if parents don't need the money. So that's a big win. But the legislation has several more wins for retirement savers. It enables employers to help workers save for emergencies. It helps workers repaying student loan debt and makes retirement plans more accessible to part-time workers. But folks with a Roth account may get the biggest win coming out of the legislation, whether it's a Roth IRA or Roth 401k. If you're new to investing, here's how these plans work. Money contributed to Roth accounts is taxed differently from conventional employer accounts like 401ks and 403bs. With those accounts, contributions are made with so-called pre-tax money. You get a deduction on your tax form that year. But when you retire and withdraw that money, it's taxed as regular income based on whatever tax bracket you're in at the time. With Roth accounts, your contributions are taxed going in. You get no deduction for that money when you file your taxes that year. But when you withdraw that money later in life, presumably when your income is higher and you're in a higher tax bracket, you don't have to pay taxes on it. There are income restrictions that prevent higher earners from opening Roth accounts and other rules to follow, but for the majority of folks, Roth accounts are very attractive. And there are actually two types of Roth accounts. One is a Roth IRA, and you can set one up on your own with any brokerage account like Fidelity or Schwab. Then there's the Roth 401k that your employer can offer. Now, since money going into a Roth IRA is already taxed, in other words, Uncle Sam got his share up front, those account holders don't have to start withdrawing that money when they reach age 72. They're not subject to required minimum distributions, and they can just let the money grow. But that hasn't been the case with Roth 401ks. They were subject to the same rules as a conventional 401k. Account holders have been required to begin taking minimum distributions at age 72. The new legislation wipes out that requirement for Roth 401ks starting in 2024, another big win for retirement investors. Another win involves matching contributions. Employers can offer them to Roth 401ks just like with regular 401ks. Right now, employer matching contributions to Roth 401ks have to go into the employee's regular 401k account and be subject to taxes in retirement. But the new legislation will allow employers to put their matching contributions into an employee's Roth or conventional 401k. Why is that a win? Well, remember that the benefit of a Roth account is that you pay taxes on contributions when your income is probably lower, and so is your tax rate. Then later in life, when you're earning more and probably in a higher tax bracket, no taxes are due on withdrawals. The more money that goes into the Roth side of a 401k, the better off you're likely to be, and the legislation allows for that. So some big changes are coming in 2024. We hope this information helps you make wise decisions about your retirement savings. Psalm 27:23 tells us, know well the condition of your flocks and give attention to your herds. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back. Stick around.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Priorities, we all have them. The question is if they're the right priorities and if they're in the right order. Did you ever crave candy as a child? Tootsie Roll Pops, Lifesavers, Milk Duds? Sometimes that's all we wanted to eat, wasn't it? But our parents knew better, and we can be thankful for that. They had their priorities straight, even when we didn't. But there's something even more important in life than cavities and nutrition. Jesus said these words in the Sermon on the Mount, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." He's right, of course. What we value most will direct our lives. So what is your main priority? Treasure on earth or treasure in heaven? Seek first the kingdom of God. Get daily encouragement with Anchor Devotional. Visit GetAnchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Spiritual warfare is a reality that none of us are going to be able to escape. The scripture reveals that we are engaged in spiritual warfare. We must be. But then the word of God says, but the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So guess what that means? Our munition supply is not limited to this natural sphere. We're not merely just engaged, we are engaged to win. I like that.
Tune in to the Hamilton Corner, weekday afternoons at 5 Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. All right, it's time to take your calls and questions today. What are you thinking about financially? We'd love to hear from you. We've got some lines open. Our team is standing by, and we'd love to chat. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. That's 800-525-7000. Let's go ahead and dive right in. We'll go to Texas to begin today. Hi, Carrie. Thanks for your call. Go right ahead.
Well, thank you for having me. Yeah, I have a second home that I'm selling, and 6 months ago I had some foundation repair that needed to be done, and they gave me an interest-free loan on that, and that's going to be due here in March, March 4th, and I'm not real sure if I'll be able to sell my house before then, maybe not. So I'm needing a short-term, maybe a month or two loan just to cover that interest-free loan so I don't have to pay the 17% interest on that. So I was thinking about maybe a home equity loan or some other type of loan, short-term loan, that would be able to cover that if I don't sell my house here real quick. What do you think is the best way to just cover that for a short time?
Yeah, what is your interest rate? You said it'll be 17%?
Yes.
Okay, and what is the balance on that?
It's $36,000.
Okay. All right. When are you planning to list the home?
It's listed last week. I listed it last week.
Okay. So, all right. Very good. So ideally you'd get that sold, but it may not happen. You may have a kind of a short period of time here. Well, you're going to need to kind of look at some options here. Obviously, do you have quite a bit of equity in the house?
Yes.
Okay. So I think it's really going to come down to less about the interest rate, because the home equity loan and the line of credit will be fairly close. Normally, I would say let's stay away from a line of credit just because it's a variable interest rate. And the tendency is to open this line for more than you need and, you know, use that as kind of a fallback. And I hate to, you know, encumber the house for things, any number of things. I remember at one point seeing a billboard for a bank that had what they called a put it on the house credit card. Imagine that. You go out to dinner, you swipe it, and you're securing that to your home. I mean, we want to stay far away from those kinds of things. But your situation is a little different in that we're just trying to get out from paying, you know, 1/12 of 17% every month on this $36,000 until you can get the house sold. The question is, between the fees and the closing costs of establishing that line of credit or that home equity loan, how do those compare to the interest, the increased in interest that you'll be paying? So let's say you're paying, you know, 7 or 8% on that line of credit to start with. How much is that in interest per month versus the 17% you would be paying? And then when we factor in the cost to establish that line of credit, you know, how many months does that give you where just by paying the 17%, you'd still come out ahead, perhaps, let's say, you know, for 90 days. And you may decide, well, just given the costs of securing this loan and putting it in place and, you know, all the fees that they associate with that, I'm actually better off if I sell the house by June 1st, staying with the 17%. Does that make sense?
Oh, sure, sure, yeah.
So you're just going to need to look at that.
I knew home equity loans or some other loan would probably be less than 17%, but I didn't think about the fees involved. So that's a good point about the fees.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
particularly if it's short, like you know, only 1 month, then, you know, 1/12 of 17% is not that bad for 1 month. So, yeah, I think I'll be able to sell the house here within a month or two. So,
okay.
The fees involved in getting another loan from another bank or credit union or whatever. Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't think of that. So
yeah, so I think you're going to need to look at that. I mean, it could be as much as 2 all the way up to 5% of the loan value, depending upon the lender. Now, often some lenders, because they have more money to give away and so or to lend, and they're, you know, they're trying to be aggressive, they might, you know, say no closing costs associated with HELOCs. And so you could look around for those, but I think just the hassle of putting that in place and all the paperwork, not to mention the fees, I'm just not sure, given the timeline here, that it's going to make sense, as much as I don't like you paying 17% on anything. So I think the key is just get that house listed as quick as you can, or maybe you said it was already listed. So, you know, just try to move that. And, you know, if you have the time and are willing to do the research, you know, you could go to bankrate.com and find out, you know, if anybody out there is offering a HELOC with no closing costs, and then that might give you an option to do that. But I think you've got to factor all of these pieces in just to make sure that it's worth your while to take the time and effort to put it in place. All right?
Yeah, that's great. Excellent. Well, thanks.
You're very welcome. We appreciate your call today, sir. God bless you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We've got some lines open today, and we'd love to hear from you with whatever you're thinking about. Let's head to beautiful Maine. Hey, John, thanks for calling. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for taking my call. It's
yes,
quite
sir.
A contrast between Texas and northern Maine.
That's true. I love it.
Well, I'm semi-retired, 82. I'm living on Social Security and taking a small amount from my mutual funds, which last year I lost about 25%. I checked with my financial person as to what to do. He mentioned a fixed annuity, which I don't think I should do. My thought is to take the hit, withdraw everything, and put it into my local bank's CD put a CD on it, and that percentage would be 4.185. So I think maybe that's the way it should go, but your advice would help.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. Let me just ask you, you said you're down 25%, John, and I can understand the concern there, given your age and the fact that you're on a fixed income. Were you in an all-stock portfolio, or was there a bond allocation to that?
No bond allocation, just straight stock funds, mutual fund.
Yeah, so that does make sense as to why you'd be down. Have you seen a bit of a recovery in the month of January?
A little bit, especially in the Roth IRA, a little bit of recovery. And so I'm on pins and needles, which way to go.
Sure. What roughly are we talking about in investable assets, if you don't mind me asking?
It would be about 76,000 as of the end of the year, maybe less now.
Yeah. And you're not pulling any amount out on a regular basis apart from a required minimum if you have that?
I'm pulling out monthly 700 to to go with my Social Security.
Okay.
So it's a frugal income.
Yeah. So I could see why you'd want to be pretty conservative with that because, you know, normally I'd say on 76,000, I'd rather you pull only about 3,000 a year. Even at 100,000, I'd rather you pull only about 4,000 a year. You're pulling about 8, sounds like. You know, we're going to deplete this over time. I think the question is, do we wait this out and let it recover? I would have told you if you'd called me a year ago before the downturn that, you know, we needed to be much more conservative just given what, you know, how you're relying on this. The question now is just, you know, your anxiety level and peace of mind. I want you to sleep at night and, you know, I don't want you to lay awake worrying about this. At the same time, I hate to lock in these losses. Let's do this. I've got to take a quick break. If you don't mind holding, John, I'd love to finish up on the other side. You stay there and we'll be right back on Faith and Finance. Stay with us.
So they asked me to enter my email address. And the next thing I know, I start getting emails from companies I never even knew existed. What's up with that?
Here at the American Family Association, you have our word that we won't give away, sell, or lease your email address to any other organization or company. We're thankful when you take the time to subscribe to AFA Action Alerts, 1 Million Moms, Engage Magazine, or any of our other online newsletters.
We are grateful for support from LitePoint Portfolios, which seeks out family and faith-friendly investments for 401k and 403b plans, integrating faith values and fiduciary duty. LitePoint Portfolios offers retirement plans for a variety of organizations, such as businesses, nonprofits, and churches, and we're grateful for their sponsorship of the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at LitePointPortfolios.com.
What does the American Family Association stand for? AFA upholds the truth that all human beings, including the unborn, are created in the image of God and are worthy of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
Here at the AFA Foundation, we help families just like yours shore up permanent income for their retirement years through our charitable gift annuities.
Chelsea Wildman.
We would love to work with you to see if a charitable gift annuity is right for your situation.
Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Why not reach out to the AFA Foundation team today?
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We'd love to hear from you. We've got a few lines open for your financial questions today. Hey, we started today by talking about Roth IRAs and some of the changes that are going on there. If you'd like to have a one-on-one conversation with a financial professional who's been trained to bring biblically wise financial advice, counsel that aligns with your Christian values, well, we recommend the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation, and you can connect with a local CKA in your city when you head to our website, faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Just click Find a CKA. Before the break, we were talking to John in beautiful Maine, and John was sharing with us as a gentleman, 83 years old. He's an artist living on a fixed income. He's got some investment accounts that are down about 25%, all stocks, and he's pulling out about $700 a month to supplement his income, and obviously very concerned about the fact that this $100,000 portfolio is down to $76,000 or so, even though it's recovered slightly this month. And John, as I was saying before the break, I think the key is there's no doubt you're too aggressive in that portfolio with an all-stock portfolio at 83 and given the withdrawal rate that you have going on there. The question is, what is the best path from where we are today, sitting at 76,000, to where you have a much more conservative portfolio that is not going to have the volatility, that's going to allow you to stretch it out as long as you can, you know, before you deplete it, and, you know, not have to wake up and open a statement one quarter and, you know, see it down another 20%. And the options are, of course, to leave it where it is, knowing that, okay, even though we may be 6 or even 12 months away from a recovery, maybe even a bit longer, we don't want to lock in those unrealized losses. We want to let it recover. But as soon as it does or gets close to it, we're going to quickly kind of reposition this either into a much more conservative, largely fixed income portfolio comprised of, you know, typically we would say at 83 years old, you might, you know, have 20 to 30% in stocks, not 100%. That provides a little bit of the growth engine and, you know, helps to boost the returns. But then the bulk of it, you know, 70 to 80% is in bonds, fixed income, high quality governments and corporates, is throwing off a good income. And then all of that together should allow you to sustain a 4% withdrawal rate. In your case, you know, we're talking more like, you know, an 8% withdrawal rate if it was 100,000. But at least we'd allow this to last as long as it can. The question is, though, if you as the steward are saying, I just can't do it anymore, Rob, I realize that, you know, the market has always recovered and, you know, I still need to take a long-term view on this because I need this money to last, you know, at least another decade. But I'm, you know, it's causing me anxiety or losing sleep and I just need to go ahead and move it. Then I think certainly that may be the decision you need to make, even though I think in hindsight, 12 or 18 months from now, you know, you might say, man, I wish I would have waited that out. So give me your thoughts on kind of that path forward and what you're sensing now, even if, you know, perhaps waiting for it to recover might be the more prudent option. We also have to figure into this kind of the non-financial aspect of this, which is, you know, I just can't stomach it anymore.
Well, thanks, Rob. I can withdraw on a monthly basis less than the 700 and still work out. I have about 60,000 to 70,000 in a savings account, which I'm using as a buffer.
Yeah.
So I probably could get go with 500, taking out 500 a month.
Okay. Okay.
The account.
Yeah, I'd certainly feel better about that.
I can do that. What is a revelation is I just thought, you know, mutual funds was it, but you're saying 20% in mutual fund stocks, 80% in bonds, which I have never researched. So that gives me something to look at. In other words, bonds would give me a fixed percentage.
Well, that's right. However, last year was challenging for bonds, too. So you would have still experienced some loss, although maybe not quite as much. It was just an unusual period where the stock market was falling, you know, pretty significantly. And when interest rates go up, even though the yields on the bonds increase, the prices of the bonds fall in concert with those rising interest rates. But given that we're going to be, you know, we're talking about you moving into this portfolio that I described, perhaps, you know, later this year, we would be at the end of that Fed rate increasing cycle, which would mean that, you know, you would, the bond prices would no longer be falling and you'd be able to lock in some pretty good yields. And as long as we're using high quality corporates and governments, you really don't have to worry about, you know, much risk of default. So you would just kind of enjoy that better rate of return than you might get longer term in a CD. So that's why bonds, you know, can be very attractive in this season of life.
I see. I'm what I was thinking of with the CDs, they would be short term, you know, 15 months, two years. And so I'm thinking with my age, and I would have one of my daughter's name on it also, so that they can control it and withdraw if necessary. So that was basically what I thought would be attractive.
Yeah, and I can understand why. I think the only thing is we just have to recognize that, you know, if you were to pull it out of the investments right now, you're locking in those losses. So you're taking unrealized losses and you're realizing them. And then you don't have the potential to participate in the recovery of this market, which will happen. Could it go lower before it goes higher? Sure. I mean, it depends on how deep this recession is that most economists are expecting this year. But I think if you could wait it out and you feel good about that, I'd probably let this portfolio recover a bit more before you make that transition to your new strategy, which could either be a more of a guaranteed approach with a CD ladder, where you maybe do a 12-month, an 18-month, and 2 years, and then every 6 months you roll a third of it forward. Or you could do more like this stock and largely bond portfolio. Perhaps get a second opinion on this, John. You could also look for a certified Kingdom advisor there somewhere near you. If you go to our website, faithfi.com, and click Find a CKA. I hope that's at least giving you some things to think about. All the best to you, my friend, and we appreciate you checking with us. If we can help further along the way, let us know. 800-525-7000. Two lines are open. We'd love to hear from you. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org, or call 800-557-1985.
Target is in the bullseye because of its transgender bathroom policy.
The petition by the American Family Association to boycott Target now surpassing 1 million signatures and counting.
People have their own beliefs and stuff, but what can it hurt? What can it hurt? What can it hurt?
It hurts our daughters.
It hurts you.
It hurts our families.
It hurts me.
It hurts all of us.
Sign the petition to boycott Target at AFA.net.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
At Faith and Finance, we're on a mission to educate, equip, and connect you and many others with the powerful financial answers found in God's Word. We're working to meet people right where they are through national radio programs, our app, website, and other resources. If you've benefited from this program, would you consider becoming a monthly Faith and Finance patron? Check out all of the benefits of a Faith and Finance patron's membership at faithfi.com and click Give on the homepage.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr,
president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance Program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
So glad to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today, helping you apply the wisdom from God's Word to your financial decisions and choices. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's head to North Carolina. Hey, Bob, thanks for calling, sir. Go ahead. Bob, are you with us? All right, it looks like we lost Bob. Unfortunately, Bob, feel free to give us a call back. We'll try to get you on to Texas we go. Hi, Virginia. You're next on the program. Go ahead.
Hello. Good.
Hi.
Hello and good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I have monies in the bank for an autistic grandchild.
Okay.
And I have a trust that puts it to him. Although the bank said it would be best just to put the father's name on and he could draw it out and blah, blah, blah. But I want to make sure that it's tax deferred for him.
Yeah.
And so I want to put it into a Christian credit union.
Yes.
I know I could make more money if I put it in stocks and bonds, but I also know there's risk.
Sure.
And I don't think there would be any risk in a credit union.
Yes. Yeah, I would agree with you there, Virginia. And I think if that's really the direction the Lord's leading you, there's no problem with that. You mentioned that you'd like it to be a Christian credit union. We happen to have a wonderful partner, the Christian Community Credit Union. You can find them on the web at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. And they not only will allow you to take advantage of, you know, CDs and other banking instruments. They provide mortgages and loans of all kinds for individuals, churches, ministries, and businesses. But they're, of course, faith-based and purpose-driven, which means their mission is to serve Christ followers, to help them live and give more abundantly. They've been around for 65 years, and a portion of the money that that you put with them will go to support the work of the kingdom as well. And so through their partnerships with some wonderful ministries around the globe, a lot of that money will be working for the sake of the gospel. So you can become a member just by way of your affiliation with a Christian church, ministry, or school. And so you would just sign that statement of faith and be a part of what they're doing there. So again, you can look at that online, Virginia, at joinchristiancommunity.com, and I think you'll like what you see.
Okay, I appreciate you. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Virginia. Thanks for being such a great grandmother, thinking about how to be a good steward of God's resources. Let's see, back to North Carolina. Bob, I think we have you with us now. How can I help you, sir?
I'm back on. Sorry, I double-fingered the call there.
No problem.
My wife and I have just recently found that we've got some double E bonds that have fully matured to the tune we'd bring in about $41,000 on those if we cash them in.
Okay.
Now we're retired, so we've got an income from my military retirement and Social Security. I don't need the money. We don't need the money to live day to day, but we do have a $31,000 home mortgage. That's all that we've got in terms of mortgage debt at this point. So my question is it best to go ahead and pay that off? It's at a fairly low rate. It's actually only about, I think, just below 4% at this point.
Yeah.
Anyway, whether we should pay that off or whether we should put this money into investment.
Yeah, very good, Bob. Well, you've got some great options there, and I love that you're trying to think through the priority use of this. Couple of questions for you. Number one, do you have what I call an emergency fund, a reserve account of at least 3 to 6 months expenses?
Yes, we do have that available to us at this point. Yeah.
Okay, great. And then secondly, would you and or your wife really have a lot more peace of mind just knowing that you had this home paid off? Is that a priority for you all? Would that, you know, give you more peace of mind? Or would you say, you know what, although we'd love to pay it off at some point, we're fine hanging on to it and putting this money to work and trying to grow it. Where would you all come down on that?
Don't know that I'd thought through it to that depth yet. To know which we would want. Yeah.
I would start there, Bob, because I think you could go either direction. I mean, could you take this money and put it to work and continue to pay on this mortgage at a low interest rate? And, you know, could it grow beyond the interest rate? Sure, that's possible. I think, you know, a lot of folks would say, you know what, I'd just like to own my home. And given the fact that we're probably going to be in a sideways market here, and, you know, given our age and the fact that we would be in a fairly conservative portfolio, meaning maybe we'd have, a 60-40 portfolio in this season of life, 60% in bonds, 40% in stocks, you know, given what the market's expected to do, could we outpace, the interest rate on this mortgage by a couple of percent a year after tax? Sure, you could if you took a long-term view, but is that worth it versus having just the peace of mind to know that, yeah, we own our home and we're not encumbered to anyone and we've got complete flexibility here. And, we've taken this largest expense that we have in our budget and we've eliminated that. So now we're not making a mortgage payment, which means we have more margin on a monthly basis, more to give away or to, you know, put back into savings or, you know, whatever we want to do with it. So I kind of like you paying off the mortgage for those reasons. But at the end of the day, if you said, you know what, we'd rather put this to work, we could talk about an investment strategy that, you know, might help to offset and grow the money beyond the interest you're paying. Although I just think you've got to factor in those non-financial elements of having that mortgage, you know, completely eradicated. But give me your thoughts.
Yeah, that certainly sounds reasonable there to do that. Now, I realize tax payment rate last year was, about 12% or so in taxes, income taxes. So of that money we'll get, I realize on roughly 31,000 of it, we'll have to pay, on the order of 12 to 15% income tax this year.
Yeah.
Is there any advantage in just not taking, say, half of those bonds, moving those into next year, even though they don't earn interest, but moving those taxes to next year?
It's possible, but probably not. You're probably in a low enough bracket where it's not going to make a whole lot of difference. I would check with your CPA just to see if that strategy of spreading this out over two tax years would benefit you. But I think what you'll find is that you're in a low enough bracket that it's really not going to make a whole lot of difference. And so if you had the option, for instance, if you decided we're going to pay off the mortgage, I'd probably go ahead and knock it out this year and, again, eliminate that expense from your budget so you guys have even more margin on a monthly basis.
Right. Okay. Well, that makes a whole lot of sense too.
Okay. So. Very good. Well, listen, Bob, thanks for checking with us and thank you for your service, sir. We're incredibly grateful.
Well, I was, you know, pleased to do it at the time and the Lord has blessed us through all of that.
Very good. If we can help you further along the way, let us know. God bless you. Folks, we're going to head into another quick break here in just a moment. Steve, we've got two Steves waiting in two different states. We'll get to your calls just around the corner and after this break. But before we head to that break, let me just mention that here at the end of the month, the last day of January, we would invite you to be a financial supporter of this ministry. We do what we do every day here on Faith and Finance and serving you through our app and this this radio broadcast and our certified Kingdom advisors and all the things that we provide, most of which is free of charge. We do that through your listener support. So we would invite you here on the last day of the month to help us stay on track with our own goals and perhaps give to the ministry. It's a tax-deductible gift at faithfi.com, faithfi.com. Just click give and thanks in advance. We'll be right back. Much more to come in the last segment. Stay with us.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
You've got Christians who love Jesus and they have kids and they're just like, I just don't know what my calling is.
Right.
Will and Mickey Addison.
What is it that Jesus wants me to do? I feel like I'm a teacher. And that's
that's why when you go to the scripture and talk about equipping the saints for work of ministry, you should look inside first. It can mean right, you know, at your address.
Marriage, family, and the church. That's the focus of Airing the Addisons, weekday afternoons at 2 Central on American Family Radio.
45,000. That's how many times Faith and Finance referred a listener to a certified Kingdom advisor last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking on the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience. And she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
We're delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We've got a few lines open here in our last segment. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. It's 800-525-7000. Let's head to Louisiana. Steve, thanks for calling, sir. Go ahead. Steve in Louisiana, are you there, sir? All right, I'm not hearing you, Steve, so we're going to let you see if we can get you back on the line and come back to you here in a moment. Folks, we receive emails all the time from you, and we love to get them. You can send them along to askrob@faithfi.com. We'll try to get them on the air quickly. In fact, we heard just in the last day or so from Emily. Here's what she writes. That's a great question. A lot of folks ask about this. She says, I'm employed and currently receiving Social Security income. I tithe on my salary. Should I also tithe on my Social Security income? I love your program and I listen at work. Thanks. Emily, I appreciate your generous heart and wanting to honor the Lord with your giving. I think the tithe is a great starting point for our giving. My friend Randy Alcorn calls it the training wheels of giving. We're no longer under the Mosaic law and we're under the law of Christ. And, you know, I don't think obligated in the same way to give a tithe. And yet I think clearly, even in the New Testament, we see that we should do proportionate, systematic giving. That, you know, the idea of being a generous sower just jumps off the page in both the Old and the New Testament. Those of us who have seen what Jesus did for us on the cross certainly should be giving, and we should do that according to how God has provided to us. So it's a way to be connected back into His activity and demonstrate our trust in the fact that His provision is complete and He is trustworthy to provide. So I love the idea and the principle of the tithe, as long as we're doing that cheerfully, not under compulsion. Now, if we're going to apply the principle of the tithe, that is a tenth on the increase, how do we approach Social Security taxes? Because clearly a portion of what you're receiving, if you've been tithing on a gross amount of your income throughout the whole of your life, a portion of that is a return of what you paid into it. The challenge is it would be very difficult. Perhaps it would take an army of CPAs to figure out what is a return of what you've paid into the system versus how much actually came from your employer. Because remember, you, if you were a W-2 employee, only paid half of the FICA taxes. Your employer paid the other half. And then you've got the growth that occurred as the Social Security system took it and invested it. So it would be very difficult to determine kind of what is the portion that you put in versus that you did not. And so I think for that reason, you know, the Bible doesn't make special provisions that exempt those who are on fixed income or government subsidies. It just simply says, Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first produce of your entire harvest. So perhaps one approach is to say, whatever funds come into my possession from whatever source, the first produce of my harvest, welfare, Social Security, SSI, unemployment, disability, alimony, inheritance, regular income, I'm going to consider that the first produce. And then from a joyful, from the heart of a joyful giver, I'm going to just give it as a, and accept it as a gracious gift from the Lord. That would be the approach I would take. But at the end of the day, here's what I would say. You know, Emily, this is between you and the Lord. So I'd be on your knees saying, Lord, what would you have me to do? But hopefully that gives you at least something else to think about as you consider this. All right, let's try to get to Steve again in Louisiana. Steve, do we have you this time?
Yes. Are you there?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Oh, great. Okay. I'm retired back in October. I'm 65. I'm on Social Security, but at the end of the day, I've got $800 that I need to do something with.
Okay.
And I listened to your show for almost a year, and I didn't realize it until we kind of calculated. I probably got a year set aside as far as unexpected funds.
Nice.
To draw back on. But what I'd like to do is take that 800, and as your show was going on, I said, you know, maybe 7, and I'll take that other 100 and use it toward American Family Radio.
Yeah.
But what I want to know, if you had $700 each month, what should I invest it in? And I'm thinking about something that's really aggressive.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't know what to do.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, there's so many options here. I mean, I think the key here is, I mean, you're talking about money that you could afford to lose. And so that's why I hear you saying I'm willing to be a little more speculative with this money.
Right.
And I can understand that. I think there's still something to be said about not being highly concentrated. You know, the Bible talks about put your portion into 7 or even 8 because we don't know what misfortune may occur on the earth. So we should be diversified, not having all of our eggs in one basket. So I wouldn't pick one high flying company and just kind of say, I'm going to stick it all in that, because you have the potential to do really well, but you also have the potential to lose a whole lot. So I think there's some wisdom in being diversified. So if I had $800 a month and I wanted to be on the more aggressive end, I would probably drop it into a high growth mutual fund, something that's actively managed in a particular sector of the economy, and maybe, you know, in biotech, or it may be in, you know, technology, or, you know, something that, you know, has some potential to really accelerate into the future. I mean, we talk about, you know, where everything's going with electric cars and energy, and we've just got a whole, you know, a number AI. I mean, a lot of these industries are emerging, and, you know, clearly you could be very well diversified, and you could have, you know, a position in one of these, you know, sectors or multiple sectors that are high growth with an active money manager who has, you know, a particular skill set in this area. That might be what I would look at. An example would be, you know, and we don't make stock recommendations here or fund recommendations, but Eventide, one of the faith-based investing mutual funds that are part of the the faith-based investing space. They have a particular fund in the life sciences and healthcare space, looking at a lot of the emerging biotech companies and some really exciting companies in that space. That would be an example. I'm not recommending that one, but an example of something you could do. So I might look at that, or you could visit with our friends at soundmindinvesting.org, and they could have some mutual funds that would be in this more aggressive growth category. But I think that's probably what you're looking for, because then you could do a systematic investment, Steve, every month. I just open an account at maybe Fidelity or Schwab, set up that automatic transfer of $700 or $800 a month into the account, have it automatically buy more shares of that mutual fund. So you're dollar cost averaging in, whether it's up or down, you know, you're kind of systematically moving in and taking a larger position every month. And then just take a long-term perspective on it. Let it grow and see how it does over time. How does that sound?
That sounds great. Hey, I appreciate you. I'd like to find a Kingdom advisor somewhere here that I could hook up with. I'm in Shreveport, Louisiana, so where do I go to find it?
You'd head to our website, faithfi.com, faithfi.com, and then click right there at the top of the page, find a CKA, and you can do a zip code search. You'll get a list of them based on the how far away, you know, 25, 50, or 100 miles, and you could start interviewing to find out who would be the best fit.
Hey, brother, thank you. I pray for y'all every day.
Well, thank you so much, Steve. God bless you, my friend. Let's stay with the name Steve and head to Iowa. Hi, Steve. How can I help you?
Yes, I wanted you to differentiate the following. When people put their son's or daughter's name on a CD, they do that at the risk. You should explain to people what a TOTEN, T-O-T-T-E-N, what a TOTEN trust is, and how that keeps the money from being taken if the second name on the trust is involved in a lawsuit.
Yeah. Well, here's what I would say. I appreciate you raising that, and I am not an attorney, so I don't give legal advice, Steve. But what I would just say generally is a TOTEN trust is essentially what is today known as a POD, a payable on death. It received its name from a long time ago, but in modern times we call it payable on death, where essentially it immediately passes outside of probate to the named individual. And so you're going to avoid probate. It got its name from a decision in a court case back in the early 1900s. And there are certainly some protections from a legal standpoint, but I would always visit, especially whenever we're dealing with wealth transfer or any issues related to liability and your assets, always relate to a godly estate attorney who can help you navigate what is the best option for you in terms of naming beneficiaries, whether or not a trust makes sense. If you have your own business, obviously you've got liability considerations that you want to make sure you're protected against. And so always good to get some legal counsel when it comes to making sure you're passing your assets efficiently and effectively, and you're not setting yourself or exposing yourself to unnecessary risk. And that's where a lot of these instruments, like the one that Steve's mentioning here today, can be very helpful. Thank you for your call, sir, and for asking that great question. Well, folks, that's going to do it for us. So we covered a lot of ground today. You know, here's the bottom line. As we think about our role as stewards of managing God's money, we want to be found faithful. We want to be handling God's money obediently, obedient to His word, and in the same direction for a long period of time. And when we do that, when we live with contentment and avoid the comparison trap and hold God's money loosely, setting financial finish lines, and giving generously, being a generous sower, I believe we'll experience God's best. Not without hardship or difficulty. We're going to have those. We live in a fallen world, but we ultimately place our trust in God and His promises. Hey, thanks for being along with us today. It's been an incredible opportunity to share these truths with you. I hope you'll come back and join us tomorrow. Thanks to my team today, Robert Sutherland, Pat Montague, and Devin Patrick. Couldn't do it without them. Hope you have a great rest of your day, and we'll see you tomorrow for another edition of Faith and Finance on American Family Radio.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.